The reading this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians and can be found on page 1177 of the Pew Bibles. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after how you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from this gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Amen.
In the church from which I retired 3 years ago, the son of our session clerk was in the army, serving out in Afghanistan, based at Camp Bastion in Helmand province. So it made listening to the news from Afghanistan not more real, but just more immediate and personal. The passage I felt led to preach on this morning is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20, Paul's description of the Christian soldier. It's important, as we know, for any frontline soldier to have the right equipment for the task in hand. There's always a great stir in the media, and rightly so, if it's felt that British troops have been sent into battle with poor or inadequate equipment and resources. So here St. Paul tells us of the equipment, the armour, required by the Christian on active service, so to speak. Commentators on this passage say it's possible that Paul, in prison in Rome, catches sight of a Roman legionary on guard duty, and he looks at the soldier's armour, and then he thinks of the Christian soldier, the soldier of Christ, in constant battle against the forces of evil, the powers of darkness. There is a battle going on, says Paul, spiritual warfare. Our struggle, he writes, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I don't think I need to spell out in great detail what's happening in today's world. In our aggressively secular culture, there are so many hostile attacks against Christian standards, against Christian values. In many countries, so many overseas, individual Christians and Christian churches, as we were hearing in our prayer, are under physical attack and physical persecution. A report issued just last month states that for Christians, the so-called Arab Spring has in many cases become a Christian winter. And in our own society, there's a secular mindset that has somehow convinced people that there's no God, and that nothing is real, nothing is true, unless it can be scientifically proven and touched and seen and measured. Listen to the words of St. Paul in an earlier letter in 2 Corinthians. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The moral and intellectual climate of today's pagan world stands over against the kingdom of God, which is the realm of light. Now, behind all this, the New Testament declares, are spiritual forces of evil, the powers of this dark world. And so Paul says, to each follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, therefore put on the full armour of God, so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Twice in these verses, he refers to putting on the full armour of God, the Greek word, a panoply. We need all the strength, all the resources that come from the living God for the living out of these days. So Paul now goes on to describe the Christian armour in more detail. The Christian is urged to arm himself or herself for battle, for immediate battle. First, the belt of truth. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist. Our postmodern culture today does not like the idea of objective truth. Rather, it's the idea that whatever's true for you is okay. Whatever works for you is legitimate. No overriding, overarching truth. But truth cannot be so readily dismissed. Logically, there is either a creator God or there is not. He has either come to earth in Jesus Christ, his Son, or he has not. He has either died for us on the cross to forgive mankind's sins, or he has not. He was either raised from the dead, or he was not raised from the dead. Truth. Objective, factual truth. There was a Christian book once written entitled Heralds of God. And heralds announce a fact, an actual event. In the Christian church, we have to keep announcing, keep declaring the fact that God has come to this earth in Jesus Christ. The fact that the kingdom of God is now in our midst. And if the Christian church does not do this, who else in our society is going to do it? Not the schools, not the universities, not the politicians, not the media, certainly not the media. We have a gospel to proclaim. Tell out, my soul, the greatness of the Lord. Jesus affirms, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So first, the belt of truth. And secondly, says Paul, stand firm with the breastplate of righteousness in place. It is thought by commentators, for example, F.F. Bruce, that righteousness here is righteousness of character and practice, rather than the believer's righteous status in the sight of God, though it must also, I think, include that. John Wesley, for instance, referring to this verse, speaks of, I quote, the righteousness of a spotless purity in which Christ will present us faultless before God through merit of his own blood. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, the armour with which Christian was fitted out included no protection for his back, so that in his encounter with the enemy, he could not turn back, but he had to stand firm and face the foe. Righteousness of character and practice also includes commitment, dedication to duty. Can you imagine, for a moment, a sergeant major saying to a squaddy, go and man that position over there. But later the sergeant major finds out that the soldier has not done this. He asks him why, and the soldier replies, oh, I just didn't feel like it. Well, we can imagine the response. As Christian soldiers, our personal feelings are neither here nor there. We are to be obedient, dedicated, diligent soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, our commanding officer, as it were, doing individually and together what we are called to do. The breastplate of righteousness. The Christian life, in the words of Eugene Peterson, is a long obedience in the same direction. Next, we are told, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah declares, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace. The gospel of peace. The good news that by placing our faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, anyone can have peace with God. Through the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, the broken relationship between man and God has been repaired and restored. Whatever we may have done in the past, through our oneness with Jesus Christ by faith, we can now look up into the face of God, as it were, and say, there is nothing between us now. The welcome given by the welcoming Father to the returning prodigal son, the lost son, gracious, generous, accepting, forgiving, welcoming. What wonderful, wonderful good news. And how people need to hear this and discover it and experience it for themselves. And what a wonderful purpose in life to seek each one of us to share and to spread the good news of new life in Christ. As in wartime, to know that we are needed. To know that we in the church are part of an enterprise much greater than ourselves. Previous generations passed on the gospel to us. We have a duty to pass it on to the next generation, as well as to those in the surrounding parish and community. As the poet puts it in the poem in Flanders Fields, to you from failing hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. I sometimes think that the only value in the existence of the Christian Church is that we can offer Christ to those who seek him. To have meaning in life, to have purpose in life, makes all the difference. There's a parish out there, your community, that needs to hear the gospel of peace, the gospel of new life in Christ. A task for you to fulfill. So footwear, well-fitting boots, are an important part of the soldier's equipment for long route marches, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Excuse me. Fourthly, says Paul, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of the Roman soldier was large, 4 feet high, 2.5 feet wide, and it gave shelter and protection to the soldier's whole body. It consisted, we're told, of 2 layers of wood, covered with canvas and then with hide. And flaming darts, that is, arrows tipped with pitch and set ablaze, would then burn themselves out against the hide-covered shield, without harming the soldier behind it. Faith then, that is faith in Christ, is represented as a shield which will ward off the fiercest temptations, pictured as flaming arrows fired by the evil one. Again, this is so practical. When we are tempted, as we are, to do something wrong or to say something wrong, when we are being tested, the answer is to keep looking to Jesus, to keep turning to him, to keep our gaze fixed upon him, to call upon his name, to lift out our hearts to him, who is our leader and captain. You may remember the words of the traditional hymn, "Ask the Saviour to help you, comfort, strengthen and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through." We cannot resist attacks of temptation or opposition or testing in our own unaided strength. The answer is resolute faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when we look to Jesus Christ, when we turn to him, any temptation burns itself out and loses its power. The arrows of the enemy, we are told, are not only stopped, but extinguished when met by resolute faith. So each day, and many different times each day, let us keep turning our eyes to Jesus Christ, a wordless and secret conversation between the soul and God. He is nearer to us than breathing, closer than hands and feet. Next, the helmet. One can imagine a Roman soldier would not feel properly equipped without his strong helmet of bronze. Even in our own society, helmets are important. Builders on a building site, rock climbers, motorcyclists, firefighters. Even our 3-year-old granddaughter has a helmet on when she rides her bicycle. "Accept salvation as a helmet," says Paul. Take the helmet of salvation. We are saved, that is, made right with God, not by our own merits or goodness or good works, but simply by placing our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. We know God not on the basis of what we do, but on the basis of what he has done. And this is a relationship that no one, no enemy, can take away from us. One that not even the great power of death can break. John writes in his gospel, "This is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The helmet of salvation. And sixthly, Paul looks at the sword of the Roman legionary. A sword with a strong and firm blade, two-edged, able to give a mighty cut with either edge of the blade. "Your sword," he says to his Christian hearers, "your sword is the word of God." Listen to these words from the letter to the Hebrews. "The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through. It judges the desires and thoughts of man's heart." This, notice, is the one weapon of attack in the Christian armour. No word of man, mere man, is capable of defeating the spiritual hosts of wickedness in our day. However, if in the Christian church we keep preaching and teaching the word of God, the message, and the power of God's Spirit, then eventually people's hearts and minds will be touched. And more in time will come to Christ. As someone has said, religion changes your behaviour, Jesus changes your heart. God in Christ comes near us and changes us on the inside, from within. Think of the wonderful words of the ascended, glorified Christ in the book of Revelation. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, that is the door of our heart, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." The church building is not the house of God. God's new place to live is in you and me, within you and me, and in the hearts of all who believe. Jesus Christ, risen and alive, still changes and transforms people's lives today. It's still happening. And can happen to anyone at any time. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Paul now goes on to speak of the importance of prayer, but I think that would need another separate sermon to expound and develop. We're reminded that the Christian soldier is strong only as he maintains communion with God in the Spirit. We are commanded to be faithful and persevering in prayer on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. There's nothing that we cannot bring before God and share with him in our prayers. Let me conclude this morning with this illustration. It's from a book by Dr. Leslie Weatherhead. There's an old Danish fable which tells how a spider slid down a single filament of web from the lofty timbers of a barn and established himself at a lower level. There he spread his web, caught flies, grew sleek, and prospered. One Sunday afternoon, wandering about his premises, he saw the thread that stretched up into the dark unseen above him, and he thought, how useless. He snapped it, but his web collapsed and was soon trodden underfoot. The mindset of modern life is man's decision that the unseen God above does not matter, that man alone can manage, that man is the master of all things and the measure of all things. Glory to mankind in the highest. And it is not working and it cannot work. Equipped with the full armour of God, the Christian church, yes, battered and bruised and battle-weary as it is, the Christian church is called to declare the fact that God is. That alone makes sense of life. That God rules. That alone gives life meaning and purpose. That mankind needs a saviour, a rescuer. And that this saviour is Jesus Christ, Son of God, incarnate, crucified, risen, ascended and glorified. The battle goes on, but it is not our battle, but the Lord's. It is a fight, but it is a good fight. So may we in our day, individually and together, be loyal, obedient and alert soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. To his name be the praise and the glory. Let us pray. Just a moment of silent reflection as God's word continues to speak to our hearts and minds. Almighty God, keep us mindful of all your benefits and heedful of our high calling, that we may yield ourselves in new obedience to your holy will and live henceforth as those who are not their own, but are bought with a price. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.